This Sunday.
Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them.
Here!
Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture.
Gasp!
Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves.
Thrill
to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go ride on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Sunday!
Steamrollers, Midnight Shoulders, Heartbreakers, there's my heartbreaker over there. You found the heartbreaker in his own domain on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. Ray Guarino with his co-host Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Oh, I am doing spectacular on this fine, upstanding springtime Sunday here at Motormouth Radio. A lot of S's there.
Yeah.
And you know why I'm even more excited?
No, why?
Because there are going to be two honor groups today.
Don't you know it? Yes. And why is that? Why are there two honor groups today?
Because we're doing a banner show. This is a two-hour extravaganza here of Motormouth Radio. Because we're trying to drum up some cash for our radio station, from last I heard.
That's right. And
but this is hour one of a two-hour, fine upstanding brouhaha.
Yeah, we're in the station is in its fundraising period, and you can help. I have all sorts of documentation here, but it's all over here.
Okay. Right. You got to roll over. Go off, Mike.
Yeah. And the question that people ask is, why donate? And the answer is, the money you donate is used to help, actually is used at help, because whoever wrote this spelled two, O-T. So there is a typo on my copy. So where's the proofread?
Paste proofread, yes.
Yeah, it's used to help WHPC stay on the air and continue to grow. And basically, the paper I'm reading this off of and the ink that was used to print it incorrectly was purchased with donated money. So
very good.
You know, that's how it works.
And you can keep programming like this on the air.
Right.
And you can call the number on your screen.
Right. What is that number, Chris?
The number is 516-572-7438. And don't give our names. Just don't give our names.
Well,
I want to donate,
right,
but the Motormouths did not send me.
That's to make a donation. To call the show, it's the same as always, 516-572-7440. And you can find us, as always, on social media, on the web, and on Twitter and Facebook. We're Motormouth Radio. And on Instagram, it's real_Motormouth Radio.
And Joe's favorite.
I've had had trouble with Instagram. I haven't been able to post anything on there. For some reason, it just takes my pictures and just says processing. So I haven't put anything up on Instagram in almost two weeks.
Let's check. Yeah, you have been strangely absent.
And that's why. But I will tell you, there's other shows that are going on that are really good. Yesterday was the new episode of Sam's Garage. Sam Madavi, good friend of ours, who we're going to get on this show when he has a little bit of time. That started yesterday on Motor Trend. It was on at 9. But it's going to be, now they're going to be, I guess it'll be on the app. If you have the Motor Trend app, you can find it. And you can see Sam working with Doug Harris on a really cool 57 T-Bird. They're doing some crazy stuff with this little red bird.
Really?
It's going to be really cool. So that's something you may want to check in. And
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorites. I always loved the baby birds.
Right.
I always find it intriguing about those cars, because I remember 30 years ago, $20,000 would have gotten you a really, really nice 55 to 57 Thunderbird.
Now, what year is that now, we're talking about?
About 30 years ago.
Okay.
And now, 30 years later, about 20 grand will get you a really, really nice 55 to 57 Thunderbird.
Isn't that the truth, right?
It's the truth. Great cars. You would think they were going to be $100,000 cars. And unfortunately, they're not. I always pride myself in trying to see what cars are going up in value, what to buy as an investment. I always enjoy that. I enjoy talking to people that also have that similar interest. I'm completely impressed at some of the prices of some Mopar vehicles. I'm like, holy smokes, I'll never drive a Plymouth or a Dodge again. And then there's some cars like a Ford T-Bird where you just go, boy, it's a nice car. Why aren't they getting their due? I mean, yeah, you can see some of them $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 cars, but the majority of them aren't that high. And it's one of those cars that kind of make me go, wonder why I'm not buying one for an investment purpose, because it wouldn't make any money on it. So
yeah, and I'll tell you, it's good you bring up that topic, because in our second hour today, we're going to have a guest. We might as well pre-sell what we're doing. Mr. Tom Cotter, the auto extraordinaire who kind of took us under his wing many years ago and kind of helped us along with stuff. Tom is going to be on. Of course, he's known as the Barn Find Hunter. He is the guy, he's on Motor Trend also doing his show, the Barn Find Hunter. So he'll be on the second half. We'll talk to him, and maybe we'll ask him a question like that, like why? Because with Steve Linden, another local appraiser and car historian that we know, we've asked him, like, what makes car A more historically significant or collectible than car B, when in your mind you would think, it shouldn't be. But I don't know. Those answers are beyond my pea brain of a head. I don't know. It's
Yeah, it really is true, because I think about, like, I just talked to a gentleman a couple of weeks ago that still has his 71 Cuda convertible sitting in a garage that he bought in 1983 for $950.
Sure.
And he had the wherewithal to keep it. I mean, he didn't know that, he didn't have a crystal ball and knew that they were going to be worth as much as they are now. But he was lucky enough to retain it for that amount of time. I think about some of the cars I've sold and realize that shouldn't have sold them when did, and shouldn't have did, because I think about the numbers that I got for them. I gave them away. And compared to now, compared to some of the prices, I remember getting $300 for a 72 Coke bottle Charger. And I was it was a small block car, but now that's like an $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 car.
We all did give them away because that was what the market would bear at the time. I mean, that was the thing. You know, I fall into the category of being just dumb lucky that, you know, I kept my Pontiac. I've owned it since the 70s and just kept it, never got rid of it. And the reason I never got rid of it, well, first of all, I never had to, so that was good. But I couldn't have sold it for any amount of money that would have really helped anything I needed to do other than, like, you know, buy some newspapers and a pack of cigarettes. It's like it really didn't have a great value. And that's the thing. If I did sell it and regretted it later, I would have said, I sold that for nothing. But it was worth almost in the market at that time. That's what it was worth.
Yeah. So, and how many guys do you know that have sold their cars or sold their bikes for that one same reason? You know the reason why they sell them.
Well,
right?
Because they get married or they're, or the guy in the house. You know, I sold,
bingo.
Well, the one that got away from me, and I will write the story about it one day, my Camaro, which I still feel that car had a lot of history. But even though I knew the history, I could trace it back to the original owner. I think there was more going on with that car than I knew about at the time, and that they told me. Yeah. And that's the one I wish, I lament, I wish I had back, because...
What, it had bullet holes in it? I mean...
No, but interestingly enough, the one thing that was, that did happen is everybody who owned or drove that car got hit in it besides me. I'm the only person who never... The car did get hit when I owned it, but I wasn't driving it. It was parked outside my house across from my driveway, and a friend backed out of the driveway in his Corvette and hit the door.
Wait a minute. Now, that's a totally different story, because it's a totally different show.
Yeah.
Because now you're talking about cars that are susceptible to getting crashed. I've owned a couple of those.
That's only a side story for that car. It really is.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a little side story. But yeah, that's the one that got away. And I remember when I was selling it, I was on the road to getting married, and I said, you know what? I don't need. I already had. I had my Pontiac. I had another car that I was driving. I had a motorcycle, and you know, already push come to shove. Oh, should I keep the Pontiac or keep the Camaro? And I decided to keep the Pontiac. In the long run, who knows what would have been a better choice to do. I don't know. I still wish I would have kept the Camaro. I couldn't sell it. I was trying to almost give it away and couldn't do it. And, you know,
well, what year was this that you were trying to sell it? What year was it?
1983.
Those cars were everywhere.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
All those F-body, right there, F-body Camaros F-body. And Firebirds. Yeah. They were everywhere. They were everywhere.
Exactly.
Nobody,
that's my point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the truth. And it's so funny how as we get older, you realize those cars that were everywhere all of a sudden disappear. And they usually disappear at that moment that you want one. That's usually when they disappear. Look, I had a buddy of mine one time tell me, he said, oh, I can't find a 75 or a 76 Caddy Coupe DeVille. I'm like, they're everywhere. This was back in like the early 90s. Oh, I'm like, they're everywhere. What are you talking about? They're everywhere. Nope.
Right, right.
Nope. Turn around, gone. Like one day you wake up in the morning, everybody sells them all at once and scraps them.
Yeah.
And then they're all, it's like this wave, this flood of just take these cars off the streets all at once, like in one weekend.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, you turn around. Hey, what happened to, you know, hey, what happened to Salvador's old 75 DeVille? I sold it. He bought that Hyundai. Everybody says it all at once.
You know, it's funny because there's a gas station by my house, and I come down the side street where the gas station is. And I happened to spot this a few months ago, a brown 67 Coupe DeVille convertible. Caddy, and you know, no hubcaps, it's got plates but no stickers on the windows, and it looks like it needs a little work, and it's just sitting there and it never moves. And I went in for gas one day, and I'm asking the gas guy, I said, hey, what's with the Caddy out on the side street? Oh, that car, he was in some kind of, this is some, now I can't do the version of some kind of Slavic Mideastern language this guy was speaking, I don't know, but he was a friendly fellow. And telling me, no, it was a customer brought the car in because there's a shop attached, and had all sorts of work done, all sorts of brake work done and fuel line, all the stuff that goes wrong with cars that sit.
Sure.
And then came in and didn't like the price they gave him for the bill, and didn't take the car. He said,
oh, boy.
Ah! So they took it, pushed it out of the shop, and pushed it out onto the street. I said, you know, the car's going to get towed eventually. I'm telling you, this is now 3-4 months. The car is still sitting there with probably what are bogus plates on it and no stickers on the window, and it just sits there, you know.
Wow.
And I guess the guy, maybe he felt, I don't know. I can only speculate. Maybe he felt the money that they wanted to charge him was worth more than the car is worth, or maybe he felt they just ripped him off on the repair bill or whatever. But that Caddy is just sitting there. And you know, every time I pass, I say, you know, that was something we saw every day, all the time. They were just drivers. You know, now you spot it, like you hone in on it and say, wow, look at that, a 67, you know, convertible. That's sharp.
No, it's true. And that's the funny thing. Talk about that. I monitor those cars. I've always have. Those are the cars I think I've monitored probably as close as anything else. And they've never gone up. They've always been at a certain price range. You could pick up a decent Caddy, a convertible, probably from 1965 to 1970, anywhere between like the $8,000, $11,000, and $12,000 range.
Yeah,
you could pick up a decent driver. Until Hagerty came out with their article on the next versions of vehicles that were going to increase in value, and those Caddy convertibles were on that list this month or the last month. Next thing you know, those $8,000, $12,000 DeVille convertibles are now $22,000 and $26,000.
Right.
I literally saw it. I'm looking at Facebook Marketplace. I'm watching the same cars almost double in value because some clown shoes read that article. But meanwhile, they're selling crap at double the amount of money. You know, just basic drivers with holes in the seats and brake line issues and air conditioners that don't work. And they're asking double for them because they read this article.
Right.
And I'm like, you're going to be kidding me. Stop.
Yeah,
you're not going to sell it.
I know. That's
so So yeah, it's amazing because it's kind of funny because I'm thinking to myself, oh, maybe I'll go for another big caddy, one of those late 60s, early 70s Cadillacs. I mean, I grew up with them. I know exactly what's wrong with them. I could. They're easy. They're no big deal. Yeah. You know the hardest part about working on a 67 Cadillac? I will tell you the hardest part about working on a 67 Caddy. Mm-hmm. Maybe even 68, but 67 definitely. If you are standing in front of the car, you pop the hood, the grill is protruding out and gets you right in the thighs.
Yeah.
It's like these spoons that are all, because the top of the grill isn't covered. It's just those forks sticking up, I should say. And they stick you right in the thigh when you lean over.
Yeah.
You need to get like a piece of carpet and hang it over the front of the car.
Right. No, I know that's a weird intricacy of those cars.
Yeah. That's a kernel of knowledge you will only get on this program. Thank you very much. Right here, right now.
You know, and the other thing you can get on this program, if you would like to call and make a donation at 516-572-7438, is you can get a pair of tickets to see Johnny Mathis, who you can listen to when you drive that caddy, because that would go. Chances are, you know, that'd be kind of perfect, right? That does, you know, our donations, of course, do not have any monetary value. You can donate wherever you want. This one is an $80 donation because these are quality tickets. They do have some cool stuff. And this is coming up at the NYCB Theater at Westbury on Saturday, August 20th. Again, tickets are available there at westbury.com, but you can call for an $80 donation and you can win a pair from us and say you helped out a good cause at 516-572-7438. Or you can call us to talk at 516-572-7440.
It's confusing, I know.
Hat yes, cane, please don't. Spin the dish, you know. Well,
just remember, 572-7440 if you want to talk to us, and then take away two numbers if you want to donate, 516-572-7438. Take away two digits, and you can donate and get tickets to a Johnny Mathis show that sounds like a lot of fun.
Right.
And yes, Ray is now searching some sort of technological gizmo in his hand there.
Yes.
It says, get off the air. What are you doing on the air? You stink. Play some music.
So I want to tell you about another thing that came up just recently.
Ooh, other than lunch.
Right. No. Was one of our good buddies, and I don't know if he wants to be disclosed, so I'll just say one of the friends of this show, bought himself a dune buggy. And it's a nice one, too. It's a nice one. I should probably buy it because it matches the color of my car. Like I could have bookends.
There. Ooh, it's gold or it's black and white.
No,
or
it's gold. It's gold.
Really?
And it's sharp. But he has and he is a great investigator of car, all thing cars. But he had a lot of questions on how to ID. Like he only sees the VW number on the pan. He wanted to know how to ID the body. And other things. So I reached out to our good friend Pirate Paul, who of course built that gorgeous purple buggy that did a few years ago. And we may be hearing from Paul because I said I'd see if I can find out. And I did a little research myself on this, and like wow, it was like you want to talk about potpourri. It was like the sky's the limit for how you could build one of those things with what conglomeration of parts.
Yeah, I believe it. I don't think that there's any rhyme or reason to the construction of a dune buggy because you're using a chassis pan from a VW bug and you're using the body of your choice to drop on there. I don't, and who keeps records when they're doing something like that? I mean, does anybody actually record? Oh, I'm using body number 3457912, whatever, and I'm putting it on top of chassis number blah, 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 and I'm going to tell the state all about it when I register it. I would say, said nobody who built the dune buggy.
I guess someone might have, but, you know, in the heat of the moment, especially back in the day when these were being built in the 60s and 70s, no, it's just a matter of, you know, you get that body, great, throw out the box that had all the pertinent information on it, and you put the body on the frame, and you're done, you go, you know?
Right, in someone's backyard under a tree.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, who is the inventor of the dune buggy? Myers?
Yeah, Bruce Myers, yeah.
Bruce Myers. I mean, that's how he built his first one.
Right? He did, yeah.
It was his backyard. He built number one that
way. And that's the thing. He still gets, it's like tissues and Coca-Cola, you know, soda. People see a Doom Buggy and say, oh, it's a Manx. It's a, no, it's not. It probably isn't, because the production of his stuff, if you look into it, was rather small compared to the overall, right, for the rest of the stuff.
Right, because he built something called the Myers Manx, or Minx, right?
Manx,
and that was Manx, and that was supposed to be, that's like the holy grail of Doom Buggies, if you can find. But they all look the same!
Well, you know, to the untrained, to the untrained eye, they do, but I found a site, I just did a quick Google search and found a site called DuneBuggyArchives.com.
And oh, for crying out
loud. If you go on that, it shows you all these different bodies, and because some of them have, have square coffin noses, others have round noses.
Oh, yeah, the styles are different.
Well, that's
sure.
what I'm saying. So that's the point. There were so many differences by all these independent makers of the back in the day, and the backs all kind of looked the same. It seems to be like the noses changed more, but there were differences inside. So it's all
what is it called again?
Doom Buggy Archives,
because I found a Wikipedia here. That's not, I don't know, I'll look for that. CHIVES, DoomBuggyArchives.com. Here we are. Here we are, DoomBuggyArchives.com. Wow, there's fantastic colors, multicolors of Doom Buggies all standing out on someone's lawn. What is it with Doom Buggies and lawns? Yeah. Why aren't any of these pictures on the sand?
Because the guy lives in Nebraska.
Yeah, right.
That's why.
That's hysterical. Right. Yeah, this looks like, wow, I like, this looks like a fun site.
Well,
I
found that this morning, so I really did like one or two scrolls and said, okay, I got to write this down, I'll get back to this. So I really didn't investigate that, but I'm hoping it does help out in the idea of this body.
Yeah, because I'm just amazed that there would be any sort of serial number on a Doom Buggy body.
There are.
At all.
There are.
At all.
There were on probably some of the better bodies. I don't know if all of the, again, I'm only speculating. You know, it could be everybody does, but, you know, the fiberglass, and once you, you know, paint over them, or if you undercoat it or whatever, you know, that could be easily lost. It could have been a tag. It could have been a decal, and that could have, you know, now 50 years later, what's the chances of a decal being there? It could have been long, right, long gone. So,
I mean, I always was impressed with individuals that will archive the history of a race car, any race car.
Right.
Because if you think about it, a race car is built, it's usually built well once.
Right. Well, right. But there's guys who will buy, there's a lot of guys who will retire a race car, and maybe, you know, they'll keep their engine forever and sell the rolling body.
Right.
And someone else will take it, and they'll put their powertrain in it, and they'll campaign it. It happens all the time.
The car goes from one butcher to another butcher.
Well, sometimes, but some of these guys in the bigger teams, those cars are pro-built. You know, it all depends on the level you're at, I think.
Right, but still, chronicle the history of a race car is got to be, because no one really keeps records. And if they do, it's right, like you say, the big boys do, but 98% of them don't, and it's all hearsay. Well, you know, Jed had the 440 in that Cuda in 1973, and, you know, Bob put the 383 in there, and
look what happened to Chassis John. He sold his Firebird race car, his Pro Mod car, years
ago. That's a perfect example, is Chassis John's Firebird.
He sold it years ago, and it was a running, beautifully built car, and he just recently found it, like a year or two ago, found and bought it back. But what had happened to it, it didn't change hands a lot, but what changed was all of the good work. Like, instead of the nice pedals in the car, there was like a piece of rebar with a thing of rubber stuff.
Yeah.
Like, some stuff got so bastardized, and like, you'd say, like, why would you take out something good and put this in there?
And he was talking about having plumbing pipe, like gas pipe.
That's right.
Run through that car.
That's right. And he sure as hell didn't build it that way. But somebody else felt, hey, that's a good idea.
But John bought it back.
And he did. Right. And he's going to recreate it. But he'll recreate it now in the same theme that it was before. It'll be done right once again.
Right. But now John has got the liberty. He has the luxury of having that card built in his head. He didn't write anything down. He's transferring from what's between his ears to the welding torch.
Well,
And I got to admire that. But what's the chances of someone else buying it and they're trying to recreate it in the same way John had?
Well, that's the
thing. That's what car racer historians, I think, are doing. And I got to, my hat goes off to them. I think that the way that the history that they're trying to unearth is just remarkable. And this is along the same lines with a dune buggy. How do you go through the history of a dune buggy?
He's gone back to a lot of his old pictures too. And that's what a lot of people do, like Alana Shar, Alana and her husband Tom, they're recreating a few vehicles now, like the truck that Tom McEwen's truck from the race team. So they're looking through old. It's up on YouTube on her site, and they're looking in pictures saying what's that right there, and they're trying to recreate that. They're also doing a boat that Tom's parents bought new in '73. It's a Sidewinder, really nice speedboat, and they're going to restore that. And again, they're using old pictures and video, well not video but film.
And I got to hand it to them because they are really looking at the minutiae and trying to duplicate that.
Right,
and that's just extraordinary. To actually do that. Why? I don't know. Well, but it's extraordinary in itself.
I'll tell you what else we're going to do and why I don't know. We're going to recreate what we did last week. We're going to do an honor group of the hour, and because we're getting to the bottom of the hour, and let's take care of some business, and we'll take care of some more fundraising stuff. But let's start with you.
Ooh, all righty. Well, here on this two-hour extravaganza of Motormouth Radio on our WHPC pledge drive, we are doing the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour, and today it's folks that still have their original catalytic converter in their car. That's right. You say you heard some loud radio playing outside one night. When you got into the car the next morning, your catalytic converter was gone. You say you can't take the new car to the train station to go to work. You have to take the hot rod. Why? Because it doesn't have a catalytic converter. Because they keep taking your catalytic converter at the train station.
Right.
You say you bolted a stop sign to the bottom of the floorboards to prevent the next theft. Well, if you harken back to those innocent days when one got their front bumper bolts welded on their Coupe de Ville to prevent theft, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour if you still have your original catalytic converter still intact.
Nice. Yeah, I do. I fall into that. And if you do, which means you didn't have to shell out hundreds of thousands of dollars, then it's a good time to donate to WHPC. And you can do that to help the station stay in the air and continue to grow as we always. The phone system that you'll call on was actually updated from donations, so we can take multiple calls. And there's one little tweak I'd like to see on that phone line, too, but that's for another thing. And again, we have these Johnny Mathis tickets up, so if you do buy an old caddy, for $80, you can get a pair of tickets to see Johnny at the NYCB Theater in Westbury, August 20th. And I didn't check the price of these myself, but I trust that this is a good value. And you really help a good cause, because it's college radio that does things that, Chris, you can attest to this. You know, college radio does stuff that, what's the term for commercial radio, doesn't or can't do or won't do. Like, put us on. So,
college radio is something that is so unique, and especially here in the New York area, because it does take the chance. It does experiment. It does. It's very entertainment based. It doesn't have to adhere to the market share or to the front office, and it does have the liberty to experiment and fail, fall on its face. But what I do love about college radio is that you have a friend on the other side of that speaker, and that to me is the rarest, the most unique, the best thing. When you have, we don't say we're perfect in college radio, but we do say that we're just here to have a good time and enjoy each other's company and spread some information, especially on this show. And you get to watch how real live radio works when we fall on our can. So.
And it's like they said in Spinal Tap, yes, I'm here to have a good time all the time. That was it.
Right. And we like to turn it up to 11 every once in a while.
So with that, let's turn it up to 11. We'll take our break, and we'll be back with more Motormouth Radio, where we'll be hopefully getting back into this dune buggy thing, because we're expecting a call, with Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. And we will be back. 90.3 WHPC. Keep it where you got it.
Hi, this is Ray Guarino, host of Motormouth Radio, heard Sundays at noon on the voice of Nassau Community College, and this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Town of Oyster Bay. Supervisor Joe Saladino invites you to the Town of Oyster Bay's car show, Long Island Spring Classic, presented by Bethpage Federal Credit Union, Now Medical, MSG Networks, Ambassador Home Improvements, and PSEG Long Island on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach, featuring classic muscle and exotic cars and 4x4s, a food truck corral, vendors, displays, and live music by that 70s band. It's all at the Town of Oyster Bay's Long Island Spring Classic on Saturday, April 30th at Tobey Beach. More information and how to enter your car into Car Show Long Island is available by calling 516-797-4121 or by visiting online at carshowli.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our train staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Well, quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's all good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No,
you see, it's funny because Ray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos Español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting
on and Chris Switzer, 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Oh yeah, you'll learn about misery. You call Motormouth Radio and you listen to us, you'll learn about misery, miss or otherwise.
That's right. Especially 2 hours of misery this fine, upstanding Sunday.
You take that from Chassis John and take it to the bank because you can bet on it. That's right.
You know, I was just on the break. I was looking at used dune buggies for sale. And
oh, jeez.
Yeah, they're selling, like Hemmings is selling dune buggies. They're here. And it's kind of funny because... $15,000 to get you a nice one.
Okay.
No doors, no top.
Right,
$15,000 to get you a nice one.
Well,
and it's so funny because the mind boggles. It's like there's so many variations of what's classified as a dune buggy. Do you want to go for your classic dune buggy from the 60s, or do you want to go for something from that's slick and exotic from the 70s? It's really interesting what choices you have in the dune buggy world. So yeah.
It's very true. And, you know, Paul and I were talking last night about this. And there he is. I didn't realize he was there.
Oh.
Guess who? Open the door on influenza. Okay. Let's see. This is pretty cool. We have a guest in the studio.
Nice. Paul's in the studio. Woo!
Yes. It's the one, the only, Pirate Paul. I was expecting a phone call.
I texted you.
I know. I think I pay attention to text. I can read one intelligently. No.
And
I can't see him here from the Zoom camera. So, hiya, Paul. Just waving at him.
Chris is actually happy that I'm here. Somebody. Finally.
Of course. What's up, my brother?
Oh, not much. Not much. Was a little late today. I have a friend over at the house there wanted to borrow some equipment, you know. So
yeah.
I'll be over in 10 minutes. 20 minutes later. Hi, Vic. He's there right now.
Now he can listen.
He's there right now working.
So that kind of that makes this a little easier. We were talking about how to identify a dune buggy.
Yeah.
And I figured who better than you would know how to do that?
Well, so. Yeah, I haven't identified mine yet.
Really? You have not? Okay.
No.
Okay.
There are so many. There were companies popping these things out all over. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like, well, yeah, we sell mattresses and dune buggies.
Right.
You know, that's how it was back then. They got very popular.
Yeah.
You know, of course, the major brands, you know, obviously the Myers Manx, the MPs, things like that, the Barris buggies, those are, you know, very easily identifiable and well documented.
Yeah.
But you were saying about identification.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually listening on the way in.
Wow.
Okay. Don't figure.
Hard to hear that.
Yeah. the dial is broken.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the Myers Manx, the originals, they had an ID tag in the back. You know, basically right over the center of the hump there, where the vertical section is, like kind of like where it looks like a back seat.
Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, the originals, if the tag is still there, or there might be a couple of holes from where the tag used to be.
Right.
Is one of the many ways they identify the. Mm-hmm. The Manx buggies.
Right.
But I was looking at the pictures of your friend's buggy. It's a nice looking buggy.
It is. It really is a nice looking.
It does match your car.
It does. Yeah. I said I got to get a bookends mm-hmm. here.
Yeah.
And then you bring his other car over to your house and you guys got bookends because he's got a
Roadrunner.
Nice B-body Chrysler. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
so
nice.
All the guys will play with the Chrysler stuff. So, yeah, you know, I was telling Paul last night, Chris, that as I read through my old magazines from the 60s and early 70s, there's as many ads for dune buggy bodies in there as there are for mini bikes, and some mm-hmm. of them I've never seen before. So I'm sure a lot of those were companies that were very small, and so if you had one of those, God help you to try and ID it because, you know.
Yeah, well, I think, like I said, I think mine was from, you know, I had some people who looked at it said it might have been from a company that was on Long Island
uh-huh.
who was popping them out. There was some places doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, out east somewhere.
Right.
So who knows? Like I said, I found the remnants of a sticker on mine that said copyright 1968.
Yeah.
And that's about all I could find.
Right.
You know, on it.
The classic year for buggies. Paul, where did you get yours?
I actually got mine. Mine was sitting under a carport at a guy's house not far from where I live. And it was sitting there for years. I'd say about 15 years or so. And it turns out to be somebody I know. But I didn't know that at the time.
Uh-huh.
But what happened was when I decided, you know, this is when the GTX was actually at Mike's place.
Okay.
And I was like, what else can I do while I'm waiting for that?
Yeah.
You know? So.
Oh, that's a bad question. That's a real bad question.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I had a body years ago, and I never got a chassis for it. I never got the thing done. I sold it. So I said, you know, I want to do another one. You know, mm-hmm. at least try to do one this time. And when I went over to look at it, it was gone.
Uh-huh.
It was gone, and I was like, it figures, 15 years. Now I go to look, and it's gone. You know?
And usually what happens by gone, it's like all the metal stuff has gone back into the earth, and just this thing of fiberglass sitting there.
Yeah, no, this was physically gone.
Right.
So, but what ended up happening was, I mean, long story short, I was driving over to the high school because my son was just starting, and I went down a road I don't normally go down, and I see the thing up on a car trailer in front of another friend of mine's house, an old high school buddy.
Mm.
So I stopped and there were some guys looking at it and he says, yeah, I'm selling it for so-and-so because, you know, he's never going to do anything with it.
Right.
So, you know, I was like, well, that guy's looking at it. I think it'd be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And then Labor Day weekend, yeah. My daughter and I were driving down the street and I go by his house. It's still there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was outside. So we stopped and I said, oh, you still got it? I said, all right, what can you do for me on it?
Right,
so,
right.
you know, we got an agreement, and I said, okay, let's bring it over here and get it in the garage before the wife sees it.
There you go. Sneak it into the house. That's small.
That's
so
true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I believe you.
Wow. Let's get it in the garage before the wife sees it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tactic that works. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For a while.
That seems safe.
For a while. For a while, you know. No, I had to take some pictures of kids in it and stuff, and I go, look, they love it.
Yeah.
It's like when you get a puppy, you know.
Right. Yeah, right.
Right. The dune buggy marks its territory just like the puppy.
Pretty much.
Paul, I was telling Chris I found a site called Dune Buggy Archives.
I told you about it yesterday.
Is that the one you're talking about last night? Well, you know what? That's how my memory from last night when I was a little foggy till this morning. I did a Google search. It was the first one I clicked on it, and I said, hey, this is a good site. Mm-hmm. So
also, you can go to thesamba.com.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. That's a whole Volkswagen site.
S-A-M-B-A?
S-A-M-B-A, yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole VW site. But the funny thing about that site is the guys who, there is a dune buggy section on the site. Mm-hmm. And the guys, some of those guys, I mean, they build totally over-the-top dune buggies. I mean, the work that they're doing to them is phenomenal, but it's like, okay, it's great if you're not going to sell it or you're not looking to make money on it because, I mean, you know, they get money, but they don't get that much money.
Right.
You know, I mean, whether you're putting that work into a classic muscle car or a dune buggy, it still costs the same to do it.
Right. Yeah, well.
You know, it's just what your return is going to be.
People always think because it's a smaller vehicle, oh, it can't cost as much. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. But if you're going to do the work yourself, I mean, like I said, that was the thing I liked about doing mine. And, you know, you were saying about, you know, building the buggies and stuff. The nice thing is there's no hard and set rules. You can do whatever you want.
Right.
And I like that. Right. I like that, and I like the fact that I was able to, you know, fabricate pieces, you know, make a lot of things from scratch. You know, I enjoy doing that.
Right.
Got a lot of equipment, and I like to build things from scratch. So, you know, that was a fun part of it for me.
Uh-huh.
You know, doing all that.
Yeah, and I got to say, you know, no qualms about it. People who have seen your buggy, who don't even know you but know us, have said, who's that guy that built that purple? Your buggy is top of the heap. That's above and beyond. You did a great job on that thing.
Well, I appreciate that.
It really is. I mean, it's, you know.
Well, I tried to keep it. I also tried to keep it kind of classic looking.
Right.
I didn't want to go over. Yeah, I didn't want to go real crazy, too modern.
But you blended
like
some modern stuff
in
there.
I did, but I made sure it was kind of hidden.
You're right, and a lot of people won't know by looking,
right.
You know, which is, it's like the restomod of, but in this day and age, like, I think we always tend to incorporate some newer stuff, because that's what's available to
right,
us.
Right, right.
You know,
so but, I mean, nice. Even the stereo system I put in, I didn't go with some crazy stereo system that's going to rattle the neighbor's windows down the street.
Right.
You know, and some of these guys do. I mean, the whole back where the seat is all speakers.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, yeah, you know, that's great and everything, but... Yeah, I did it where mine sounds decent. You heard it. Sounds good.
It's very good. Yeah.
It's all swap meet stuff, too.
Yeah.
But it is. It is.
Great.
But I hid everything. You know, it's all pretty much hidden. So it's not jumping out at you. You know, it doesn't take away from the look of the buggy.
Right.
And that's what I wanted, you know. Yeah. That's what I wanted. That and the other big thing that I find with these buggies is scaling everything correctly. They're small cars.
They are, yeah.
You know, and a lot of guys will put these giant race seats in them and, you know, stuff the stuff in there. And it just, to me, that just looks wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Definitely. So what was the biggest challenge to build a cohesive buggy?
The biggest challenge? That's a good question.
I mean, that might have been one of them, just making stuff fit and finding things
I mean... Like deciding what I wanted to do wasn't that big of a challenge because I knew in my head what I wanted it to look like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, probably one of the biggest challenges was getting my wife, my friends, you know, like my friend Vinny, who painted this with me.
Right.
Convincing them that purple was going to be a good color.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, because, I know.
But it's a dune buggy. Yeah, I mean, but come on.
I don't know what they were thinking. In other words, I knew in my head that I wanted that deep purple that looked like grape purple.
Yep.
And I don't know if they were thinking Barney purple because, like, my friend Vinny, he's like, are you sure you want to do purple? And I was like, yeah. I said, wait. As soon as we shot the first, you know, couple of coats of flake, he turned to me and he was like, this is going to look sick.
Yeah.
And it did. I mean, It looked really good. And even when I brought the body home, Lauren, you know, my daughter's first words were, it's so sparkly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you.
But, you know, they all grew to love it. They all grew to love it.
You're talking to a guy who painted his Harley-Davidson, what I called Needick's Grape Soda Purple. And people used to say, what was that, Barney's bike? Like,
yeah,
that's Barney's. But, you know, I didn't go with the flake that you did. Yours was a very period, you know, on the flake, which I happen to love it.
Yeah.
I just went with very, very purple. And... You know, it makes a statement. And then, you know, guys were always giving me crap over it. You know, until then I started seeing other guys' bikes popping up you know, in purple.
Yeah, that's what usually happens. You know? But
it's the flake that makes the color, though. That's to me what makes the what makes that purple pop.
Well,
purple
the pop. Flake the flake is the color.
Yeah,
there is no purple paint. I mean, it's a black base with purple flake laid on top of it. That's what it is.
Cool.
You know, and then we shot a little pearl. We did a little purple pearl in it too. So when the sun hits it, I mean, it's barely noticeable unless the sun hits it just right.
Yeah.
You know, which gives it a little extra pop, which I like that.
So I got to say, we did get a donation. We have to thank our loyal listener Bob, who did call in and give a donation to the station. So Bob, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. That's awesome. That's very cool. Enjoy the show. Yeah.
And if you would like to donate, too, to help this station keep moving along and growing, you can call 516-572-7438. Like I said, the paper I'm reading this off of was printed on that, that was donated to the station. And besides those, who's the other guy here? Yeah, besides the Johnny Mathis, we also have... What do we got here? Let me see. Not air supply. We're not going to go with air supply. That's not.
I hope it. No air supply.
No.
No air supply. Johnny Mathis was in our demo, which is good.
Look, only if I'm scuba diving do I want an air supply.
Yeah, really.
Sorry. No, otherwise, no. No, actually, for another $80 donation, a call at a 516-572. Not 744, it's a 7438. Can win a pair of tickets to see, you buy a pair of tickets to see Hot Autumn Nights. And that's not a Neil Diamond concert. It's Peter Noon's Herman's Hermits with special guests Gary Puckett and the Union Gap and the Box Tops. Again, NYCB Theater Westbury. That's Saturday, August 1st for an $80 donation to 516-572-7438. And you can, you know, take your... wife, significant other, take your dune buggy with you.
Yeah, there you go.
You know?
That is definitely a show in our demographic, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. You're right about that.
Boy. Yep. And remember, your donations keep up this quality programming.
So call the number on your screen.
Right now. Don't delay.
You know, if we were doing a video thing, we would have probably a Jerry Lewis type of a graphic. But if you looked at the Motormouth Radio blog, which went out this week, there is a new Motormouth Radio. I don't know what we even call these things. It's a little snippet that goes up to encapsulate what we did on the show, and it was a little conversation Chris, you and I had where you did imitate Jerry Lewis 2 weeks ago, and that is on our feed right now. So
the Motormouth Radio Telethon.
Right. I think what I was doing, I was mentioning the fundraising, and then we said it's kind of like Jerry Lewis. So check that out. You got to see the graphic. I think you're going to really like it. It's our web impresario kind of, he kicked it up another notch just for you. So
how about let's put Chris on the spot. The next person who calls with a donation, Chris will say thank you as Jerry Lewis.
He'll send him a rusty door panel out of a 1969.
Got one.
Yeah, out of a Chrysler Newport. Yeah,
I'll say thank you, nice lady. Thank you for the donation, nice lady.
There you go.
Yeah. Yes. I'll do it.
There you go.
Or you could call and talk to us at 516-572-7440. You can still do that if you like.
But. Yeah, donate some time.
Yeah. Right. Well, Paul does a lot of weeks. He's out in his garage doing stuff, and you know, just like Chassis John down in Florida, he's got the radio on. A Macroman Brian listens all the time when he has making a sandwich or kind of
a sandwich.
Yeah.
Sandwich.
I got a friend from Brooklyn who says it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. That's the way I thought it was said.
Chris, what was the most common sandwich you guys would order when you went into a Brooklyn deli? I know you had a favorite.
Oh holy smokes. There was a deli that was around the corner from the house. I think you know it. We talked about it. It was called John's Deli. Mm-hmm. And John's Deli used to make a sandwich called the Godfather, obviously. And the Godfather was like every single cold cut you could throw between two pieces of bread. You could not get your mouth around it. It was this huge monstrosity that they handed to you with two hands. Said, hey, you take this. And they had special days where they would do special sandwiches. And the Godfather was like on a Tuesday. And I showed up one time on a Wednesday and said, can I have a Godfather? And he went, do you want extra gravy with that? And I was like,
I don't want gravy on my Godfather. Oh, no, no. Today is roast beef and mutts.
Right.
But I want the Godfather. Oh, no, no. You want extra gravy? It's the only question you got to answer right now.
Uh-huh.
Well, okay. I'll take the roast beef and mutts with the extra gravy. Thank you very much. I had my heart set on the Godfather.
Right.
Because it get three meals out of it, but instead right. I got the. So that was the joy of John's Deli around the corner from where I used to live in the glorious area of trees, Brooklyn, New York. Thank you very much.
I tell you what else we got. We do have a phone caller, so we'll go to the phones and say hi. You're on the Motor Mouths.
Hey guys, how we doing today?
What's happening?
It's Steve from Steve. On the Road Again.
Oh, Steve, yeah, I see the guys out there in the, of all the nice days that passed, now on the first rainy day, we got motorcycles.
I was just going to ask about that. Is it doing a rainy training course out there?
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was the, I was wondering, what was the method to that? Like, I guess you guys take the, I guess it makes sense to take the winter off, but I don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. No ice and no lightning, but we train in the rain all the time. If we had to cancel for every rain, you know, we'd hardly ever work.
And you know what, so. Steve? And as a motorcyclist, if you had to cancel your ride, like you're out riding, like well, many of us don't go out in the rain, but you do get stuck in the rain, and you have to be prepared for that.
Exactly, exactly. There's plenty of traction once the oil gets washed away, and you know, it's not that bad if you're dressed properly and you're properly prepared. You've got good tires. It's fine. But I didn't call for that. I called about dune buggies.
Ah,
yes.
Hey.
Yes.
Hey.
Well, it's kind of the same with the dune buggy. You go out in the rain.
Right.
Just make sure you take a road with a lot of overpasses.
Yes.
Or tunnels.
The Dune Buggy Handbook.
Yes.
Great, okay. Great book. If you can find one, you probably find them on eBay. I don't think they're in publication anymore. And I also had a dune buggy. I had, as you might know, the one we sold to Mike.
Mm-hmm. Steve, I got to tell you, that car, that became very close to becoming mine. I really just about bought that car.
I almost, regret, of course, selling it, but that's always the way, right?
Oh, sure, sure.
That's always the way. But, that was a cool one. That was a Dean Jeffries Manta Ray Coyote.
That's a cool buggy.
And I let that pass through my hands.
Yeah, with the side pods on it. And original flake on it, you know, original gel coat. Yeah, and it had a Corvair motor in it. And I also love the fact that there's no rules in dune buggy building. When you restore a car, you have all those, you know, you have to get everything just right or you lose value. Dune buggy, do what you want. Have fun.
Exactly. That's what I love about them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nice to have the Corvair engine. You know, you have the Corvair engine. That's a cool setup in that.
It was. Once you got the belt set up.
Right.
That car actually was supposed to be a generator motor. Somebody put an alternator on it. They didn't have the right bracket, so I would throw belts all the time. But once I figured it out, it was nice. It ran nice, yeah.
Yeah, you showed me that picture. Yeah. Ray's showing me pictures here. But yes, I did see that. Yeah, that's the man. That's a cool buggy. You know, the hot setup now for engine swaps for those is the Subaru engines. Sticking the Boxster motors in there.
Oh, hey, yeah, that's good.
Imagine a turbo Subaru, a WRX motor or something in one of these things.
Holy smokes.
They're fast.
One of my goal was to be able to loft the front wheels, but... only if I was in reverse and locked up the brakes,
put a couple of your portly friends in the back, you know.
I don't have any portly friends.
Okay. Call their girlfriends up.
Besides my portliness, my portliness offset it when I was driving. It wouldn't have worked.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, you know, and I know through Paul and all, like, you know, I know I would fit in a dune buggy well. A lot of guys don't. If they're too tall or too wide, it's, you know, it's a hard thing
to fit. Yeah, tall guys.
So it's not the most comfortable ride for everybody, you know, and it's attractive because it's a cool looking fun car, but not everybody wants to deal with the ergonomics and.
You know, they do have full length buggy bodies. They're few and far between, but if you can find one. They're longer. They look a little strange, but it basically sits on the full VW pan. It gives you a full back seat. You basically have the equivalent interior to a Beetle.
I think I've seen them once or twice. Yeah,
they're nice.
They look strange because everybody uses a shorter one.
Right, everybody uses the short one. Yeah,
right.
You know, these are
short ones. I like the short ones.
The short one has a good look.
I got a lot of more smiles per gallon out of that car than anything I've owned. People who never saw them before, they had no idea what it was. And people who saw them back in the 60s and 70s, they just loved them. It was a simpler time, a lot of fun, and just got smiles all the time. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's what I get. You don't drive one of them if you don't want to be noticed.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, I have one other question.
What do you got,
Steve? Thinking of upgrading or downsizing and changing around, and I'm looking at a new ZL1 Camaro, not a brand new one, first gen, 2012. And I wonder what you guys think about the future collectability of these, maybe the last generation of gas powered hot rods.
We've had Carl Anthony from automobileblog.net had told us a little while ago, buy them now because they're going to be gone. And then, now everything's going to be going electric. So his thought was to buy now because they are going to go up. And he pretty much has his ear on the hobby. What do you think about that, Chris? You remember when he...
Yeah, I would say buy it and enjoy it and take care of it. But don't stash it away because it's going to take... You got to figure it's going to take like 15 to 20 years for it to tank on an average. I mean, some cars like a Grand National GNX took off from the second it came out of the showroom. So that's anomaly. But yeah, just take it, enjoy it, maintain it, and take care of it. And yeah, it's going to be an investment, but it's not going to be a short-term investment. I would say give it about 20 years before you're going to start to see the numbers start to kick back up.
They will take time. That'd be a nice car to take and stick in storage somewhere and just let it, fester.
Right. It'll pay for a semester of your grandkids' college.
Yeah, right. There you go.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. Maybe. Right.
Well, the other thing, Steve, what went on back in the day that no one ever thought about is there was a lot of them around. The ones that are driven and a lot of miles on them, they'll be around, but they'll be maybe a little less collectible than the ones that were put away and were, and have like 0 miles on them or, something like that. I don't know. I think long term there's a chance, but for it's going to take a little while.
20 years from now, you might have to sell it on the black market.
Right. It'll take
a while.
All right, Steve. Ooh. Let me let you run. We got another call on the line.
Outlaws.
All right, guys. Have fun. See you soon.
All right, Steve. Thanks.
Yeah.
Take care, Steve.
All righty. Let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello. This is Howie. How are you?
It's the big man. What's up, Tutti Frutti? How are you?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. We're doing okay. You sound good.
Good. How are you doing on this rainy day?
We're inside, so we're doing fine.
Doing fine.
Doing good.
You're dry. You're dry. You're not wet.
That's correct.
Yes, which, basically physics took care of that.
So, Howie, I don't want to rush you. You got about a minute because we're at the end of the show. So if you can encapsulate your thought real quick, please do.
Sure. We're opening up the season. This is going to be a great 2022. The Cadillac show is happening on May 22nd at the Vanderbilt Museum in Centerport. There is Tow Bay that's happening, I think, on April 30th. And we are looking for a great season. Even Old Westbury Gardens is happening in June. You know that.
Yep. All right, Howie, thanks for the update. We got to cut you short because we're at the end of the show, and we got to flip it over for the next one.
All right, be well, guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you, Howie.
All right, and with that, we are going to flip the clock, reset everything, come back for Hour 2, Motor Mouth Radio, and we will have our special guest. Well, we got Pirate Paul here with us, but we'll have Tom Cotter probably calling in. And Chris, what do we say? What do you say? The John says,
don't follow us home, but come right back.
Exactly.
Come right back.
Please.
Right.
Paul, thanks for coming in. You sit tight.
Yep,
and everybody, keep it where you got it. More Motor Mouth Radio coming up. 90.3 WHPC. See you in a bit. Bye.
I forgot about the
forgot about the Goomba you booked. Let's find those on eBay. I actually have that. Just a couple. Just a few.